Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another week of Talk That Talk with Tweety and LJ. I am LJ.
What's going on, people? It's Tweety.
Finally, both back in the saddle on the same sheet of music. In the same, well, actually, we're not in the same city now because I have returned to where I actually live at. So we're going to get this thing rolling. Obviously, the biggest thing right now, the biggest thing going on right now in sports is, well, two really big things, but the one people are paying more attention to is NBA free agency. I said the biggest thing going on right now in sports probably that's getting the most attention is NBA free agency.
Right.
There's probably about five big-time free agents out there. One of them doesn't particularly matter because everybody knows he's going back to the Cavs, and that guy's LeBron James. So the other is Marc Gasol. Everybody's kind of figuring he's going back, even though he hasn't signed his contract, neither has LeBron. But then the other three guys, well, there was some talk that maybe Kevin Love would leave the Cavs, but obviously he's already signed. So the last two kind of big-time guys out there were DeMarcus Aldridge and DeAndre Jordan. Maybe not tracking already. DeMarcus Aldridge signed with the Spurs, and DeAndre Jordan signed with the Mavericks.
So,
My question to you about DeMarcus Aldridge. I mean, I know his situation has been kind of ongoing all season, as far as people talking about it. Were you surprised at the end of the day that he chose to go to the Spurs?
A little bit, but not really. I mean, I was surprised in the fact that if he was going to choose the Spurs, in my opinion, he should have stayed in Portland. But I didn't think he was going to choose the Spurs. Yeah, I mean, because Tim Duncan is going to leave in about a year. Tony Parker, he's getting old. I mean, like, his body is getting old. Even though his age doesn't stay the same, his body is getting old. He's been in the league a long time. Manu probably has another year or two left. So it's really they depended on Kawhi Leonard and LaMarcus Aldridge. And honestly, I think Kawhi Leonard has benefited from the fact that he has Tim Duncan and Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili on his team. Although he got finals MVP, he's like the finals MVP, like he's equivalent to Andre Iguodala. Not the star of the team,
man.
But he made a big impact on the thing. And it's like,
is that sneak dissing?
No, not sneak dissing, but maybe somebody see too much. Like I don't see him being the star, like being able to carry San Antonio to another championship. Whether it's San Antonio or not, LaMarcus Aldridge is gonna have to realize he got some big shoes to fill. Tim Duncan could carry a team. I don't know. Does LaMarcus Aldridge have not the talent, but does he have the heart to carry the team? Like, does he have that will to carry a team? And that could have been his team in Portland. You say he does?
I'm gonna say he does. Just to be he's from the Metro, from Dallas. So I'm gonna cut in some slack there, give him some hometown love. But my thing with his move to Portland is, I mean, I understand what you're saying about maybe Kawhi Leonard is not as good as maybe people are saying he is because he hasn't really had to be that guy on the team since Parker, Ginobili, and Tim Duncan still there. The argument I would make for leaving is, Damian Lillard is obviously an all-star caliber player, but the argument that I would make him leaving from there to the Spurs is that while Portland was good, he's played great. You know, they still were probably at best only ever going to make it to the second round of the playoffs. You know, so why not go to San Antonio, take the chance on playing with all-time great Tim Duncan, who can play center, can be fresher down the stretch because LaMarcus Aldridge will take that scoring load off of him. Not that he was the number one scorer in the first place. But also, go to a team that has a history. I think in the history of the Spurs, they've only not made the playoffs like two or three times. You know, you got a guy like Greg Popovich who some people say is the greatest coach ever, but he's definitely in the conversation for the greatest
right.
coach in NBA history. So, you know, you got that advantage. You got the organization that has the pedigree historically. You got a coach who is historically all-time an all-time great. You have at least one player who, I mean, Tim Duncan's probably a top 10 player. He's probably the best power forward to ever play basketball.
Yeah, he fares down a Hall of Famer, no doubt. First
you know, so even though, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge has been in the league already 9 years, he still can go there and learn from Tim Duncan. He's got some other – he's got at least one other guy he knows is a big-time player or supposedly a big-time player that's going to be there with him for the next 5 years. And, you know, San Antonio has had a history of being not only winning, but they also have a history of drafting and being able to develop players. You know what I mean? You think of a lot of the guys, Tony Parker, late first-round pick. Tim Duncan was obviously at number one pick. Kawhi Leonard, I think, was in the teens.
Right.
Ginobili was a second-round draft pick. You know, hell, uh-huh. I don't even know if Matt Bonner was drafted or they just found him somewhere playing video games and signed him up for the Spurs. But, you know, they had that history of being able to make players who maybe weren't highly touted coming out of college, like Bonner or Danny Green or, you know, some overseas guys like Ginobili and Tony Parker. They've had a history of drafting guys, being able to develop them and turn those guys into very, very much key contributors on their team. I think, I don't know, Matt Barnes played for, I think, at least one other team. I want to say played for the Raptors, but that's neither here nor there. But so I can understand, you know, why he would leave Portland. I mean, you know, it was all about winning the championship. You know, bigger question is, do you think the Spurs become the number one team, and are they the team to beat now in the NBA because they signed LaMarcus Aldridge?
I mean, yeah, well, LaMarcus Aldridge, but yeah, to me, they were the team to beat last year, and they just got beat. Like, that's really what happened. I honestly don't think Golden State wanted any parts of San Antonio. That's just my opinion, but yeah, I mean, San Antonio was going to be the team to beat as long as you got those three on the court with that coach of Greg Popovich, with Kawhi Leonard, before LaMarcus Aldridge, they were the team to beat. And yeah, I mean, because the West is really all about, like I said, the West has been about matchups for a while. Like, it's a lot of teams that are good in the West, but if they match up, they might not match up well with another team in the West. But the West is about matchups, and San Antonio matched up very well with Golden State. That's why I said Golden State didn't want to see no parts of San Antonio. It's just that, like I said, LaMarcus Aldridge, I'm guessing he was the pickup for the future. They figured what Pop got, what, 4 years left on his contract? And
yep, 4 years.
He said he's going to stick him out. And I think, yeah, LaMarcus Aldridge signed for 4 years. So, I mean, they figure if they can get along, if that's a good matchup, like him and Timmy did, then they got for at least 4 more years of top-notch basketball, at least as far as the coaching standpoint go. But I guess my question about the whole thing is, Tim Duncan ain't going to be around 4 more years. That's a guarantee. He's not going to be around 4 more years. Is LaMarcus Aldridge and Kawhi Leonard and maybe Tony Parker going to be able to deliver for the fan base that San Antonio has created by winning all these championships? Like, even though it's a quote-unquote small market, that team always has big expectations now. They don't have small market expectations. So can you live up to that? That's just my biggest thing. I wonder if he can.
Yeah, and I think they will. Like I said, just because they have that championship pedigree, they have that pedigree in that organization where even if they do go backwards, they bounce back, they bounce back rather quickly. So I think they have put themselves in a position to be very good for the near future.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
plus, you know, they did re-sign Danny Green also. So they got three pretty, I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge is not young, but they got three solid guys. You know, LaMarcus Aldridge is a perennial all-star, et cetera, et cetera. But I want to move on to the other big name that kind of moved from his team. DeAndre Jordan, Mavericks signed him. He left the Clippers, went to the Mavericks 4 years.
Yeah.
Whatever the max contract
is,
a little bit over $80 million.
4 years, $82 million, if I'm not mistaken.
We'll start with the basketball piece, basketball side of it. Do you think the signing or the agreement, because he hasn't officially signed yet, you can't assign to the ninth, if I remember correctly. Do you think it's a good move for the Mavericks? I mean, they did lose Tyson Chandler. He signed with the Spurs. But do you think, you know, given the Marcus, I can't think of his name. DeAndre Jordan. You think giving him kind of that money to almost, in a sense, be the face of your franchise, you think that's a good deal on the Mavericks end?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good deal simply because DeAndre Jordan is a force by himself. Like, he brings the same thing Tyson Chandler brought, but I say, well, he's about a good, five, 6 years younger. He's way more athletic. And he's still a defensive force around the rim. Tyson Chandler was starting to lose that a little bit because, I mean, you know, you lose that father. Like Charles Barkley always say, Father Time is undefeated. You're not going to beat him. And Tyson Chandler was starting to lose that fight. And don't get me wrong. I mean, Phoenix did a good deal by signing Tyson Chandler. You know, he's a good leader. But the Mavericks needed more than leadership. I mean, and as far as what we going to do with DeAndre Jordan, as far as him being the face of the franchise, but what role is he going to play on the team? I think they foresee him having a Dwight Howard type of role on the team. And I wonder if it's going to work out or not.
I haven't really seen him be the
focal point of an offense. I mean, that's the best you can probably hope for him because I would see DeAndre Jordan developing
right
a bucket of moves in the post.
I would probably
say what
take
now?
DeAndre Jordan. If I had to, I'd probably take DeAndre Jordan up Dwight. That would be a tough one. You asked me if I'd
I figured that's the role that they figure he's going to play. I mean, because Mark Cuban jumps out and says he's Shaq-like. I mean, Mark Cuban, of course, he's going to sell him because now he's paying him. He want to sell the franchise, but they want to use him like Shaq.
Tall, black, and dominant.
He can do
whatever
he wants to in the paint.
He said, Tall, get the fuck out of here. DeAndre Jordan is about it. Yeah, he ain't no damn Shaq. I mean, you know what? Maybe he one of those guys who, you know, sometimes, just think of it like an actor. Sometimes you get pigeonholed into one role, so everybody just wants to give you that one role. They never think about you doing anything else when maybe have some skills. I mean, I don't know that that's DeAndre Jordan, but, you know, I guess we'll we're definitely going to find out if that's DeAndre Jordan. Moving on to the next little – and me and you talked about this yesterday and a little bit Friday – what do you think about some of these contracts that guys who are, if you want to say, lower on the totem pole or in that middle class of NBA player talent-wise, you know, maybe they're not spectacular, but they're not necessarily terrible. Excuse me. What do you think about these contracts that some of these guys are getting? I don't even know who the hell Chris Middleton is. And he got like $70 million or something like that. The one guy that I think everybody knows who paid attention to the NBA is Draymond Green. The Warriors gave him, I think it was 5 years, 80 – was it 5 years, 85? I'm trying to look up his contract
now. If they didn't max him out, he came pretty damn close. If they didn't max him out.
Now, so – is Draymond Green worth that?
Well,
it does not show.
It depends on what you're basing it on. I mean, I guess they say he's the heart and soul of that team. So I guess to them, yeah, he worth it. I don't think that if you want to go by talent wise, I mean, maybe not, but Golden State figure that he's worth it to them. I mean, I figure he's what makes the team tick, I guess. And they willing to pay him. They might be the only ones willing to pay him. That's why there was no question of whether he would go anywhere or not.
Almost a maximum contract. Well, I guess actually it wasn't, because I think the max contract for 5 years is like $100 mil or a little bit. I think it's $100 mil or north of that. So he didn't get the max. But you know, there's guys like Draymond Green, like I said, Chris Middleton. There was another guy who got a pretty big contract, and I was like, Chris Middleton was one guy. I'm like, I don't even know who the fuck he is, so I'm not sure why he got so much money. I mean, now, that doesn't mean anything. I don't know. I don't know who he is, but I mean,
if I'm not mistaken, DeMar Carroll signed a pretty big contract.
Yeah, he did. Fuck it. Iman Shumpert makes $10 million a
year. Iman Shumpert made a pretty good signing with Cleveland. Speaking of that situation, how do you feel about LeBron James saying he's not signing anything until Tristan Thompson gets signed? Like, if you was the GM / owner, the person who's writing these checks, how would you handle the LeBron James situation?
I mean, you know, me personally, off the rip, I'm going to tell LeBron to go fuck himself. That's just me. You know, as two men talking, I'm going to tell him to go fuck himself and call him a fucking asshole for strong-arming me. Now, that's just me
right
as a man, because, you know, you trying to strong-arm me as a man, I'm going to be like, you got me all the way fucked up. But as a GM and a owner, LeBron got me by the balls. He got me by the ball because he kind of has you by the balls, because if LeBron James leaves because of something you chose not to do,
mm-hmm.
Oh, hell, the fans, they're going to run you out of town.
True.
They're going to run you out of town. I mean, it ain't no way around it. They're going to run you out of town. However, as a GM and as the owner, sometimes you have to make those tough decisions that are not going to be the most popular decision. I mean, they're talking like Tristan Thompson wanting north $10 million. Tristan Thompson ain't that fucking good.
So Tristan Thompson
that fucking good.
More than $10 million a year?
That's what I was listening to a radio show yesterday, and that's what they're saying. They're haggling over $5 to $10 million, which were, you know, they were comparing them to guys like Robin Lopez, who signed like 3 or 4 years, so like $54 million or something like that.
Damn.
You know, that north of $10, $11, $12 million a year mark. Tristan Thompson ain't that. That's a lot. First of all,
right.
That's a lot of money for a guy who about to be checking them seat cushions in these chairs to make sure they meet the standard. You know, make sure they can hold players like they're supposed to be. I mean,
you don't think he's going to get much playing time.
He won't get that. But people are judging Tristan Thompson off of what he did in the playoffs. Fuck, you just paid Kevin Love 5 years, $110 million. You mean tell me Tristan Thompson is that good that you need to also pay him north of $10 million just because LeBron wants you to? I mean, he's coming off the bench. He's not better than Kevin Love. He's not a better offensive player.
Right.
He's probably a better defensive player. But, you know, that 8 rebounds he gives you, guess what? Kevin Love is a better rebound than he is. In a little 10 points, Kevin Love is a much better offense. Now, Kevin Love is actually within himself. He's a pretty good offensive rebound. But Kevin Love is a better offensive player. So why do you need to give Tristan Thompson $10-plus million to sit on the bench? It's not like he's not a 7-footer. He's only like 6'9", 6'10".
True.
So, you know, those are my thoughts. I'm like, yeah, I know you want Tristan Thompson back. That's a lot of money to pay a guy who's going to play 20 to 25 minutes a game probably, and who's not a superstar. Some games he's going to play more, because the matchups, absolutely. Sometimes it's going to be more beneficial to have him in the game than Timothy Mozgov. But, you know, at some point, it's like LeBron, he just wants them to pay everybody.
Right.
I don't know.
They want the team that LeBron wants.
Yeah.
As a GM, me and LeBron have to sit down and talk about this Tristan Thompson, because I'm like you. Well, I guess, but in Tristan Thompson's defense, not defense, but I guess his argument could be Robin Lopez don't bring no more to the table than I do.
Yeah, he could say that, but Tristan Thompson is not 7 foot tall.
That's true.
Going to be paid sometimes because they're 6'11", 7 foot tall. I mean, that's just the way the NBA is, because you can't teach size. I mean, Tristan Thompson has an asset that you can't teach. You can't teach the people to play how hard he plays.
True.
But,
he got the same agent as LeBron.
Yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes you got to have that come to Jesus meeting. I mean, sometimes it's just like having kids. At some point, you got to tell them no. You know, hey, you know what? I got it. You know, but you know, if we're gonna tell you, hey, you know, mathematically for us, it doesn't make sense, right? Then LeBron, then you gonna, you know, you basically gonna, you gonna call his bluff, right? Because if you say, hey, I know you want me to pay Tristan Thompson $12 million, but in reality, Tristan Thompson ain't that fucking good, so we're not gonna pay him $12 million. Let's see the competition, what the competition offers. He can fucking go somewhere else. And if you want to be the guy who stands in front of these fans and says, you know what, I'm going to play somewhere else because Tristan Thompson fucking sucks. Nobody else is beating down his door to give him $12 million, but I wanted them to give him $12 million. They said, no, I want LeBron James. You know, you got to call his bluff too, because people make it seem like that he's got the Cavs by the balls. In a sense, he does, because they really need him, because of what he means to that organization off the basketball court in that city, the basketball court. So he sort of has them by the balls, but they also, you know, they also got a gun in the fight, and they just say, hey, you know what, big man, you say you're going to leave, fucking sit out there in front of these people again and tell them you're going to leave. Go ahead and do it. You know, so I don't think he has all the power. He has as much power as the media sort of gives him, because I think the Cavs can still call his bluff and say, you know, we're not paying him. We're going to offer you the max. We're not going to pay him that money. We're going to offer him a contract, a decent contract. We're going to offer you the max. Now, if you want to leave, you stand in front of these fans and tell them you're going to leave. And watch your reputation is gone for forever. So, I mean, that's my thought on it. If I were his GM, what I would consider doing. But again, you got to know as a GM, if you lose that fight, you're probably gonna get fired.
You lost
the
job
too.
You lose that fight, you lose that job.
You know, but I'd also assume that as a GM, if you go in there to have that conversation with LeBron, you probably already had the same conversation with the owner, and possibly the coach, and they're behind you 100%.
True.
You know, because. Listen, I mean, LeBron is, what, like 30, 31? He's already losing a step and all that. He's not a great jump shooter. He never has been and never will be. He's not even probably a decent jump shooter at best. So, I mean, what, you got a few more? I mean, Kyrie Irving cannot be your superstar. Nobody wants to say it. He can't be a superstar because, I mean, he's already proven that he can't be that. Kevin Love has already proven that he can't be your superstar and carry your team. I mean, maybe together without LeBron, they can do that. So if you sign LeBron for another few years or whatever, how long is he going to be at his, you know, where you're saying, well, I'm going to overpay all these guys because we got LeBron. I mean, you know, so there's multiple factors. You know, you're giving these guys 4 or 5 year contracts. Well, if LeBron is not going to be great at 34, 35, do you really want Tristan Thompson at $12 million a year? You know, how many championships are you anticipating winning between now and when you think LeBron is going to fall off? But
I guess they figure they got about a good 4 or 5 years of great LeBron left before he dropped down to good. I mean, unless, you know what I'm saying, unless he gets hurt, I can see that. You know, I figure they probably got about a good 3-4 more years of good LeBron, them and great LeBron left, and then Father Time going to start winning that battle. Like I say, cause not even necessarily his age, but the body of work that he's had, the fact that he's played a bunch, he's probably played more basketball than anybody in the last 5-6 years. So it's going to take a toll.
He's just not a good enough jump shooter to me. I mean, maybe he can turn into a dominant post player. But he still, to me, relies on athleticism and size. And, I mean, he understands basketball. But we only got 4 minutes left. I'm going to change the subject. Yeah, I'm going to stay on LeBron James real quick.
Okay.
This guy pissed me off so bad, too, that I had to turn the radio off. I was listening to this radio show about sports. This fucking guy was like, you know, LeBron's so good, you know, he can be the GM, he can be a coach. You know, matter of fact, he could be a player coach right now, and he'd be better than David Blatt. You know, basically, he's basically been coaching the team the whole season, and, you know, he knows how to get it done in championships. I'm going to give you my take on that. The biggest thing that stood out to me is this championship pedigree. LeBron James is the only person that I can think of in sports who has a losing record but still gets he gets credit somehow for being there. Like, normally you don't have the opportunity to clearly lose multiple times and have a win-loss record that favors the loss column way more heavily than it does the win column, and then you have the ability for people to say you still know how to get it done. Like that, I don't understand. What are your thoughts on that? Am I way off at left field on this one?
Well, I ain't gonna say way off, but the reason why people say he has a championship pedigree is really just because of the fact that he actually has a championship. I mean, I'm like you. Well, I ain't gonna say I'm like you. I understand where you're coming from when you say having a losing record shouldn't give you the championship pedigree. But I guess where that difference is, they say how hard it is to, for one, get to championship, and for two, the fact that he has multiple championships under his belt, then by default, he has championship pedigree. I mean, not everybody can be Michael Jordan and Joe Montana. Not everybody can be Bill Russell. Like, if you get a championship from that day forth, a lot of people will say you have championship pedigree, whether you get there 4 more times and lose the rest of them. But you can't be Jim Kelly, because Jim Kelly never won one. Although he got there, you notice nobody ever says he has championship pedigree. People say he know how to win, but nobody give him the championship pedigree because he never won one. LeBron James has 2. He's 2-4? 2-3, 2-4?
Yes, indeed,
and
2-4.
The fact that he has 2, they give him the championship pedigree. That's really where it comes from.
Let me ask you a question quickly as possible.
Okay.
Now, you often hear about how bad the East is and how weak the East is. How come when it comes to LeBron James making to all these championships, it's all because LeBron James is so great, and at that point in time, it's never about how weak the East is? You never hear that brought up. I just want to know quickly what you think about that.
Because of how great he is, the numbers that he put up. I mean, the fact that the East is weak, I think it has that you don't have to keep saying that. I think that's the real reason why whatever team LeBron jumps on in the East, they have a shot of going to the championship because of how weak the East is. I think people just get tired of saying it. That's really what it comes
down
to. And you would rather
talk
about
LeBron James'
credit. Greatness.
They want to give him credit.
That's true.
Because if you anybody
but
else,
you would rather talk about how great a player is than how bad a conference is, because that makes your league look better. You don't want to talk about how bad a whole conference is.
I want them to use the same standards for everybody. You can't tell me one player or one team is only good to be in the East, and then LeBron James, you don't say he only went to 6. You don't consider the fact that the East is that weak. You know, that's just me. All right, y'all, we out. Thank y'all for tuning in. This is LJ.
It's Twitter. Appreciate y'all for listening to us.
We out.
Peace.